The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Blessings and greetings to each one. In Jesus' name, glad for the cool weather and for opportunity to get together again. Encourage each other and be encouraged. Do you have a prayer request for us this morning? Peter?
My dad.
Pray for your dad and his health issues and so forth. Yes. Anyone else have something to request about?
Edgar and Guatemala.
Yeah, let's pray for Edgar. Well, okay, well, let's bow our heads. Our Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus for your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for the summer and winter and seed time and harvest. And thank you for the prosperity too, even though it gives us great responsibility. We just thank you, Father, for we don't have to be looking for something to eat this morning, but when you provide it for us so graciously. We pray for those who are sick or hungry this morning. You would have mercy on them. Pray for those who are hungry for fellowship and wish they could be here with us this morning or with brethren. Father, we thank you again for your word, for the Proverbs. Thank you for these boys before us this morning. We pray for the young ladies. Help them to look for wisdom as well. And pray for the young men, because they're strong, that they would have the word of God abiding in them forever. Thank you now for this opportunity, and we ask you to give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, the 27th proverb or chapter of Proverbs. And what was a proverb again, Clayton? What's a proverb mean? A proverb. All these verses are proverbs. What is it? Remember? Oh, how about you, Roger?
Teaching from a wise person to a
Yeah, and it's
person.
It's kind of a short saying. It's something that flows over the tongue. It may even be poetic. And that means like it would have rhyming or something, and it just... These proverbs, they often have they start out with a statement and then give a comparison to it. Or an answer, almost an answer to it. Or maybe they give an opposite to it. And that's what makes it poetic. It starts out, do not boast about tomorrow. Why? For you do not know what the next day will bring forth. Don't say, tomorrow we're going to do this and that. Within reason. But the thing is, we get all sure about what we're going to do when we don't know what the next day will bring forth. So, you see the answer there? The reason has two parts to it. These are sayings that they're fascinating, and they should be fascinating, and we should want to learn them and learn the wisdom here. Just look at the general theme in some of this. some of these proverbs here. Look at Proverbs. First of all, don't boast about the next day. What you going to do? Number two, let your neighbor praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. I can do this. I can do it better than anybody. You won't find a person that can do it better than me. You know, let a stranger, let another man, let a neighbor praise you. It's a lot like the first verse here. But I've been taught this about letting someone else praise you. I've been taught it from little up. Try not to blow your own horn. Blow your own whistle. Sounding a trumpet before you, like Jesus said in the streets. Let another man. Remember how Jesus said, don't go forward. Don't go up to the very front row at a wedding or a feast, because someone might come and say, we got that reserved for someone else. Why don't you go back here? Sorry. Then you're like, with shame, you begin to take the lowest seat. I've been taught these things from little up, but then the temptation is maybe to just be sure you say it right, and here you might still be pretty excited about yourself. So we need to have a humble heart to start with. That's what it means. But these are good wisdom for us. When you hear somebody, you come to somebody who's just boasting right up front. Just, you know, something's not quite right. Not quite right. And so... You see this thought here? A stone is heavy and sand is cumbersome, but the wrath of a man without discernment is heavier than both. Wrath is merciless and anger passionate, but jealousy supports nothing. Jealousy. Being jealous. It supports nothing. You don't have any platform. You don't have any issue worth anything to talk about if you're just jealous. Open reproofs are better than hidden love. Open reproofs are better than hidden love. If there's something that someone has against you, or you'd like to know about it, wouldn't you? Rather than just having them say, "Hey, how are you doing? I'm glad to see you again." And they've really got something against you. You know, hidden love. Or maybe acting like they love you. And they don't really. Anyway, open reproof would be better than hidden love. It says, the wounds of a friend are more trustworthy than the voluntary kisses of an enemy. What enemy kissed another enemy another person? What enemy kissed a good person one time?
Judas kissed Jesus.
That's right. Judas kissed Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, you're going to betray me with a kiss?" 7. A satiated soul mocks honeycombs, but to a hungry soul, even bitter things appear sweet. See this here? First of all, we talked about boasting. Talked about or saying what you're going to do tomorrow for sure. The neighbor, let a neighbor praise you. Don't do it yourself. Another thing I wanted to mention about that was sometimes a person says what they can do just because they're being honest. They're being honest. So there is a part of being honest. We don't want to be dishonest. So we can be humble to the point where we're actually dishonest. Like when I was in school, we used to say, ew, no, 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 mine is awful looking. My motto that I did out of plaster of Paris and painted the verse on it and everything, oh no, it looks terrible. But others are saying, yes, it's, oh, I like yours, you know. No, it's awful. Well, it's just, that's false humility. You could just say, thank you. Thanks a lot. I did spend some time on it. That's okay to say that. So we be honest at the same time, not just trying so hard to look like a little pious little boy. Anyway, so we see all these things here, and there's a little song, a children's song that comes to my mind when you see these thoughts. A satiated soul mocks honeycombs. You know, we're supposed to not be praising ourselves. We're not supposed to be boasting. We're not supposed to be all angry. We're supposed to receive reproofs and understand that that's better than people showing us love. And thank you. And then a satiated soul, a soul that's full. Satiated, you know what that means? You know what satiated means?
Satisfied.
Okay. Yeah, satisfied, or, yep. Full, just completely, don't need anything more. That's good. You got an idea of what it is, because I didn't hear of the word satiated until I was 21 years old. And I was getting a haircut. Joe Keener was giving me a haircut, and his wife used the word satiated. And I said, you mean saturated? No, satiated. And she went and got the dictionary and read the meaning to me. And it means full. You didn't need anything more. Anyhow, that's satiated. The song that comes to my mind is I'd rather be a little one climbing up than a big one tumbling down. I'd rather be a junior with a smile than a senior with a frown. I'd rather be poor and love the Lord than rich and lose my crown. I'd rather be a little one climbing up than a big one tumbling down. You see what that is there? You can be all proud. You can be all full. Like, I know everything. Well, I'll give an example about being satiated. I didn't even know what it was like to eat at McDonald's until maybe 14 years old. And then at 21, I remember with a friend eating at McDonald's and just saying, whew, these people that say that McDonald's food is like the lowest there is, I don't know what they're talking about. My Big Mac and fries just tasted so good. But, you know, we get full, and we get used to eating out, and we get used to having all that we need, and that's satiated. You're just satiated. We get a little bit fat, and we just, man, I don't like that. I want this. Be a lot better. I want this. I need something better. I need something a whole lot better. And we're no longer a junior with a smile, but we're a senior with a frown. We've already seen everything. I remember Brother David trying to teach the Word of God to someone who asked us to come give them a visit. And this young man, he was the self-proclaimed or the understood spiritual genius of the whole family. And while Brother David was there speaking and preaching to him, he was just a scowl on his face. And when David would look at him to, you know, have a real important point, and would look at him as he spoke the point, he just kind of nod. He was full. He was satiated. He didn't need anything more, he didn't think. You can be full spiritually too. You just eat, meat, meat, meat. Spiritually, you know everything. Just know everything. So you can't tell me anything new. And needless to say, that man, he never kept walking with any brothers. He just did not, he didn't even care. He didn't care about being with brethren. Pretty soon, every last group, he said, had something big wrong with him, no matter who it was. So we've got to be careful about being satiated, being full. Anyway, do not abandon your friend or the friend of your father. And when you have misfortune, do not go to your brother's house. A friend nearby is better than a brother far away. My son, become wise that my heart may be glad, and turn away from your reproachful words. An astute man hides when evils are at hand, but when men without discernment are at hand, they will pay the penalty. If a haughty man passes by, take away his garment, for he lays waste the goods of another. Let's go on to 16. The north wind is a harsh wind, and a prosperous man is called harsh. North wind, how's it usually feel? Do you know how the wind out of the north usually feels, Elijah? Cold, 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 kind of cold. And so a prosperous man, he's also called harsh, it says. Next, of 19, verse 19, as faces are not like other faces, so neither are the hearts of men. You know, you can't just see right into someone's heart right away. And men's hearts have a lot of different characteristics. We're going to go on over to 21. He whose eye is fixed is an abomination to the Lord, and the uninstructed are intemperate with the tongue. Someone whose eye is fixed, it's just they're not going to see anything else. They have it all decided already. They're not going to learn anything. It's what we were talking about before. People who are intemperate with the tongue. Verse 26, since strength and might are not in man forever, neither are they transmitted from generation to generation. You can't just receive the strength that your father has. That's why a parent needs to just keep sharing and sharing wisdom and strength with his children, because they don't just automatically get it. And then you have to decide to receive from your father or your mother instruction. Verse 27, take care of the green plants in the field, and cut the herbs short, and gather the grass of the mountains, that you may have the wool of sheep for clothing. Honor the field, so there may be lambs for you. My son, you have strong sayings from me for your life and for the life of your servants. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? I'm going to give an assignment here to the older boys. I'm going to give you a verse. And come with it memorized. Come forward without your Bible this time. And have it memorized, and then tell us the meaning or what comes to your mind about it. That way you can think about it this week. Hans, verse 14. Whoever blesses a friend early in the morning, the loud boy. Hans, verse 14. This is in this chapter. Come with it memorized and with a meaning or a thought about it. Mari, 15. Chet, verse 17. There he is. Philip, 18, and Tyler, 20, Jaden, he's here. Oh, okay. I was going to have him 22, and Arthur, 23, And Randall, 24. And Chad, 25. And then Micah, 29. Is he not here either? Micah's not here either. Okay. All right. Did I miss anyone of the older? I think we're good. Okay. And you young, younger boys, come and memorize that poem, and maybe I can text it to your dads. The future lies before you like a field of driven snow. Be careful how you tread on it, for every track will show. You come with that memorized. I'll try to give it to your daddy so you've got it for the week. Okay. You've got an assignment for today? Come right up here.
We're supposed to tell about someone who was slothful or the other way around. And Joseph, when he got accused by Potiphar's wife, got put in prison, instead of just feeling like he was just, everything was lost, he just did all he could in his corner.
Rehoboam, when he became king, he asked the older, the wiser people, like how to be, and they said to lighten the burden. And then he asked the younger people about his age, and they said to make it even heavier. And instead of doing the right thing, he took advice of the younger people and made it even heavier.
When the people, the men went to go get their friend, their paralyzed friend, to Jesus, they were not slothful, but instead they worked diligent when they cut the roof off so they could get their friend to Jesus, and they had faith and he was healed.
David took good care of his father's sheep, and when one would get away in the mountains, he would go far away to get it.
As a door sat stiff, so does a slothful man behind his bed.
I thought about Noah when God told him to build the ark. He probably could have thought of a lot of things like that, why he couldn't do it. Like it says, slothful man will say, there's a lion in the way. But instead he just did it, even though everybody thought it was a weird idea.
I thought about Hophni and Phinehas. They are Eli's sons, and they were just real lazy sons, and they didn't follow their father in the ways of the Lord. They did what they wanted to do, whatever felt good. And when their city was getting ready to be attacked, they went out to battle, but they took the Ark of the Covenant so that they could have something to hope in to carry them through it, but they got killed.
I thought about Paul. He was diligent at whatever he was doing. At first he was killing the Christians real diligently, and then after he was converted, he traveled all over and wrote like 10 or so books in the Bible, and he really was diligent, and so he was able to achieve that.
God told Jonah that he needed to go preach to the city of Nineveh, and he didn't want to, and he was lazy, and he just got down in a boat and wanted to hide, but God saw him and made a storm come up, and then he got thrown out of the boat, and then God sent a fish to spit him out beside Nineveh, and so that taught him that he should always obey God.
After there were so many kings in Judah that didn't do what was right and worshipped idols, and some of them would do what was right, but they wouldn't get rid of everything, that all the idols and everything. And And well, Hezekiah came along and he did what was right and just got rid of everything that they weren't supposed to be doing, and cleansed the temple and had the Levites get back to their work, and he just got things done.
I thought about Noah when God told him to build the ark, and everybody was saying how crazy he was. They was in a desert, they wasn't going to get no rain, and he just went ahead and done it anyhow because God told him to, and he saved himself from destruction.
There's saying it's work smarter, not harder. And if there's times you have to work smarter than you do, work smart, but then you can also use that as like, you guys go dig that hole, and I'll go do this, but they don't know this job's easier. And then you could say, well, I just work smarter, not harder. And it just kind of goes with verse 17, it says, slothful man appears wiser to himself. He thinks he's wiser and he just outsmarted them, but he really didn't.
I was thinking about the parables of Jesus and how that faithfulness goes hand in hand with diligence and seeing, you know, what is to come and what we're to prepare for. And how Jesus talks about those who, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but in the passage where he says, who then is that wise and faithful servant whom the Lord made master over all his goods? And blessed is that servant when the Lord comes, shall find him so doing. And then on the flip side of it, you had these people that Jesus talks about. And I'm paraphrasing again another scripture. Those who begin to beat their men and maid servants and to eat and drink, be slothful because they say in their hearts, the Lord delays his coming. And those men, I thought about how unfaithfulness and losing your vision goes hand in hand with slothfulness, because you lose your purpose and drive to go where you're going, where you need to go. And so, and we were assigned to bring out what we are to learn from those things. And I just thought, well, these parables of Jesus are directly established so we can learn something. And the lesson that I learned from these thoughts is that Jesus is coming, and we're gonna have to be ready when he comes. And today is the day to prepare for that and to live right.